RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Now, Winston, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Ah, well, the rubber band was stretched just a little too much there for a moment, but...
Well, we couldn't get it off unmute. We tried in and out, and didn't come on, and now it has.
Okay, well, there's probably no explanation for that. It's one of those vague things.
Probably somebody spying on us.
Yeah, who would that be? You'd know, wouldn't you? They would have given you advance knowledge. Sir, we'll be spying on you tomorrow. Get ready. First question, because we've had it in our news this morning. Candace Owens has had her visa revoked in Australia. She's planning to come here in November. We're not like that, are we, here?
Well, the reality is you've got to be prepared to hear both sides of the story. You don't have to agree with people. You've got to hear them out. And what we've got is a circumstance where today people are saying, no one's got the right to offend me by saying things that I disagree with. This is getting totally macabre and extreme in a modern era when, as I say, we've got more chance to learn more things in a quicker time than any time in history, multiplied by many factors. But no, they don't want to hear somebody else's point of view.
Is that what we would, and I know you don't have to answer this because it could be a diplomatic incident, but is that what we would expect from a like country like Australia? We've been to war with Australia. We've fought for freedoms. And it's so easily just discarded there, it seems.
Well, I'm not condemning Australia because I've seen the same thing happening here. I've seen in recent times this sort of woke generation saying, oh, we can't have this person here because they might say something offensive to me. Whether it's true or not, it's not of any concern to them. Or whether it challenges them to actually justify what they believe is not a concern to them either. So quite the converse, we're no better in that regard. And so before we start dumping down on Australia, look at our own record.
All right, let's get on to some other business. And this is a remit that I think was passed at your conference on the 12th of October. 275 delegates overwhelmingly passed, advocating for the repeal of the amendment to the Health Act that gives decision-making to the Director General of Health. This amendment, made in 2021, provides no right for communities to be consulted in any way and, in fact, threatens huge fines for councils, we've heard plenty about that, who endeavour to prevent fluoridation in this case. It sounds like common sense, pushing against centralised control, Winston. This is a no-brainer, isn't it?
Well, this is a simple no-brainer. We've had it for decades and decades, the right of local people in a local government setting to have a referendum and decide what they will have, and then the council is required to follow it, whatever it might be. And then it was 2012, came along with a decision that sort of took that right away. It's demonstrably wrong, and we have said we're going to change it with first chance we get. So democracy will go back to the people on a matter that should never have been taken away from them.
You must be seeing some sort of bounce from these positions because many New Zealanders are uncomfortable with, for example, something like that. And it seems only New Zealand First is pushing back. And, of course, included in that would be the phase two of the COVID inquiry. You must be seeing some bump from these positions.
Oh, look, I don't know whether we're going to see that just yet because people can be very distant from something that's wrong to actually doing some work about joining a cause to stop the wrong happening any further. People can take a long time to come around to that, so whether that's a bounce or not. But, you know, you take this issue, you take the COVID inquiry phase two to get at the truth. If you take, for example, the therapeutic products being banned in this country, which has all been changed now by us reversing that law, or do I say, you know, the unfairness of men playing on a sport against women when they've got a biological advantage? All this business we've got to be concentrating on very quickly about giving sex changes to young children before they've got a chance to actually make up their mind as adults. All these things have got to stop while these people who never consulted with the mass majority of the population carry on with their dictatorial ways.
How did CHOGM go? You were there for some of that?
CHOGM went very, very well, and I'm very proud for Samoa because it's a huge task to be part of a 56-country organisation with seven applicants, I might add, to join the Commonwealth, to be the organiser of a reception for them in your own country. It was huge for Samoa, and I think Prime Minister Fiamma can be very, very proud. We got a chance also to catch up with all the work going on with respect to the shipping disaster we've got there, to see the local politicians, to see the local strategists and salvage people, so to speak, who are working on it. There was a chance we had, and I took that opportunity, not to highlight the disaster, but to try and ensure that we get on top of every aspect as fast as we possibly can in time for anything further to be of a bad effect for the Samoan people. That's our responsibility. But it was a disaster that should, you know, we believe, some of us, because we took a lot of effort to get that ship back in 2019, get it provisioned, got the Norwegian government was good enough and very, very generous in adding millions of dollars of additional utilities to it for free, and now we've lost it. So we want to know what on earth happened.
Have you heard anything that gives you a steer as to what might have gone wrong there, or obviously sitting back waiting for some sort of inquiry, investigation? But
sometimes, Paul, you keep your suspicions to yourself.
Yeah, okay. I understand. All right, now to the Middle East. Israel had a go at Iran over the weekend, our time. Every little bit ratchets up the tension, escalates. Well, they call it the escalatory ladder. More rungs, people go up. So well, anything to say about that?
What on earth did people expect to happen? This is not by way of approval at all. But what did they expect to happen when hundreds and hundreds of rockets were fired out of Iran into Israel? What did they expect to happen after that? You see what I mean? This is what's going wrong here, is that you've got provocative actions and they lead to quite disastrous consequences in reaction. And we're all saying, look, let's stop the war now. It's just this tragedy has gone on for too long. But if you look back and ask yourself, how did this happen in the first place? It started with a terrorist attack of monumental proportions on the 7th of October last year. 1,200 people, innocently going about their lives, were the victims of a terrorist attack. 200 and something were kidnapped, became hostages, and about half of them have died now. This is just one bad story after another, and that's the consequence. So I think, you know, at the very least, we should stop the proceedings now and try and get a long-term peace. And I don't think that's too far away at last.
Oh, really? Okay. You sound quite confident there.
Well, I'm only confident for the reason that, you know, there's certain mutterings or murmurings or statements made by some. And we've talked to the Egyptians, we've talked to the Jordanians, we've talked to the Palestinian Authority, we've talked to the Gulf states and a lot of countries. They're all sick of it. They want it ended.
Mm. All right, a couple more issues quickly. The $100 billion sovereign wealth fund idea that you had, maybe I haven't described it exactly or named it totally correctly, but that seemed to go down quite well, though people are saying, how's it funded? Where's the detail? What have you heard since you mentioned that?
Well, it's a future fund, and it's amazing, actually. In it, I was careful to say it's just the beginning. It could be much, much bigger than that, and it has to be bigger than that. And they said to him, what's the detail? Well, you know something? I gave the country a referendum in 1997 that would say, it went like this, we'll give you a tax break. You put your tax break into your compulsory super fund, and we'll all become savers big time. And that would have been a long way to heading towards that as we spoke. This is now 17 years ago that option was put to New Zealanders. And they voted me down, but they didn't vote away the problem. So I'm back now saying, look, we need a sovereign fund or a future fund of this dimension. And it needs to be outside of policy. It needs to be managed by the Temasek model, so to speak, as an example in Singapore, where a group of highly trained businessmen and women will be in charge of it. And let's cross the political divide and find with the other side enough support for that to be going on without being the victim of political interference. And let's get going. We should have done it a long, long time ago. And the detail, we'll unveil the detail as time goes by. But I was kind of hoping that the political system would see the wisdom of it and say, well, let's see what we can do about that. Let's work about that together. Because when it comes to the details, one thing to announce the details, another thing is to get others to agree with it. And so that should be and could be amongst a small group of politicians a consultative effort. So we get buy-in. And surely it must be in everybody's interest other than those who want to stop the clock or to use that famous Anthony Newley song, Stop the Will, I Want to Get Off. For those people, we can't help them. But for a lot of Labor people, surely they understand the need for workers to have broad dependency on a better future for themselves and their families.
Last issue. Was Aisha Verrill's sister-in-law advising Casey Costello without declaring any conflicts of interest? Is it a scandal?
Well, of course it's a scandal. Now, I cannot understand the journalists who stood there and they saw Bailey being hammered, you know, day in, day out, even though he just said, look, the sequence of things is this and I do apologise, and that was it. Then we have somebody who declared in 2021 that she had a conflict of interest to, guess who? Well, her sister, who was the Minister of Health, her sister-in-law, in 2021. But here comes 2023, end of 2023, the ministry changes and somebody else is in charge of this and there was no declaration. And I am not personally going to accept that the Ministry of Health said we had a slip up here. I'm sorry. There's got to be some examination of who didn't do what and when they didn't do it. It is unbelievable that you could be in a senior position, and that's where she is, this sister-in-law, not a distant relation, the kind of rubbish that Hipkins was saying, at that close and sitting there with the minister on the subject that you've been working on with the previous minister and never declared your interest or your conflict. Mm. This is breathtaking. And when you've got to tell journalists that, then you know there's something wrong with the journalism profession in this country. It's not a service person to minor or just accidentally there, just an innocent civil servant. No, you're at the pinnacle using the same advice to a previous minister, your sister-in-law, and somebody who doesn't know who you are and no declaration.
Good question on the journalists being fixated with stuff that's not even really news.
Well, they haven't got me for picking on a civil servant. How do you like that? They don't understand we're all accountable. And never could seem to concern them when they made all those vile allegations which sent us to court for 3 court cases where we smashed a serious ward office 3 times and they never apologised to the media, did they? Come in, these guys have got appalling double standards now.
Well, they're losing all their audience, Winston, and if you get too grumpy, I guess you can always wind them up or give it a go anyway.
Well, everybody wants to be happy. Everyone wants to be smiling. But when you confront people and the level of their bias is screaming and sticking out like Pinocchio's nose, when they're asking the question, you've got to ask yourself, what am I doing here trying to answer these people? They don't see, they're asking questions that the number one student in 101 journalism would be saying, the answer's got to be this, isn't it? But that's also wrong. They put the question this way. Don't you think so-and-so? Now, that's no way to ask a question. Do you think so-and-so? What do you think about this? But when you say, don't you think so-and-so, you're saying, I think this, so why don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And then this is getting, now it's creeping into their language and their questioning. And I said to them, who on earth trained you? Now, it's not me knocking them so much, but saying, surely you are only going to survive as a profession if you maintain standards.
Boy, that'd be a new thing to hear for them. Okay, and just one last thing. Great to see these new C-130s in the country. Brand spanking after, well, I think the other ones are as old as me. Not quite as old as you, but definitely as old as me.
Not quite as old as me, but when Lockheed Martin heard about it, they thought that can't be true. Yeah. We've got them in that museum, they said. We said, no, we're flying them. And it shows you what we can do. But in the end, look, we've got 5 of them now and at last. They've all arrived. But you won't believe what I heard the other day. The Labor Party took credit for it. Oh. Hipkins took credit for it, and I thought, I don't believe you guys. Your level of deceit knows no bounds. It was Ron Mark, backed up by me and my chief of staff at the time, going hammer and tongs, talking about the need for that. And for example, we're getting that Manawanui went down. That was tragic, so to speak. And then other planes we got as well, the Poseidons and what have you. We got all of that, and now they're saying they did it. This is breathtaking.
Well, if he didn't know what a woman was not too long ago, he wouldn't know what a C-130 is, would he? He'd have no idea, would he?
Well, possibly not, but, you know, I think when a journalist hears that, what on the earth are they doing letting him get away without saying, Mr. Hipkins, how could that possibly be true?
Well, you'd read out the definition, wouldn't you?
Yes, well, you know, but no, I'm talking about the getting the C-1s. And claiming getting all this military equipment, which they didn't get.
Yeah. Well, it's like having the old Holden HQ still on the road, isn't it? We don't, those days are gone. So nice, sparkly, new, and reliable is the other thing, eh? They're reliable. They won't break down.
Oh, well, of course, a lot of this equipment won't break down if you use it more. A lot of our planes were breaking down because they were not used nearly enough.
Okay.
And since we've come to government in 2023, we've used it far more extensively. Some of it as our NAID program. We sent one up all the way up to Micronesia to pick up all those people from three countries to take them down for the Pacific Islands Forum in Tonga. Otherwise, they'd never got there. If for some of them, it's five different plane rides there and five back. And we said, no, we'll put the plane up there, pick them all up. It needs it for a calibration flight. It needs it for the experience. So let's start using this utility, which won't cost us much, to help these nations combine together. And they were nothing but over the moon and excited by the fact that somebody realized their predicament. So we, and Luxon agrees, we're going to use it much more extensively, and they won't be breaking down because they're used more.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. All right, Winston, nice to catch up with you again. Thanks for giving us a bit of time this Tuesday morning. All right.
Thank you very much. And sorry for the cough, but I got something I was overseas, the awful cough in the cabin on one of my flights, and I thought, that guy hasn't got a mask on. One of us is going to get it, and it was me.
Oh, well. Someone had to get it. You took it for the rest of us. Thank you, Winston.
Thank you. Cheers.
All right. Bye. Winston Peters, New Zealand First Leader, Deputy Prime Minister, and a whole lot of other things.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.